Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 28th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Our website's libertyroundtable.com, and lovingliberty.net is our nationally syndicated radio network. Lovingliberty.net, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips 24/7. Incredible talk hosts around the clock. Not only that, it's free, live and on-demand, but it gets even better. Incredible videos of what's going on out there in the world available on that website. Donation links available to donate liberally, please. And best of all, downloadable apps for iPhone and Android, archived and on-demand, as well as live radio through the apps, as well as you can monitor the Twitter feed and keep up with the headlines of what's happening as well on that wonderful lovingliberty.net. What do you want to call it? Education channel? News channel? It's all true. How's that? Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful God, family, country style weekend. I know that I did. And a recap of Saturday's show starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, founder and president of the CSPOA. That's a partnership between citizens and local law enforcement. We want you to back your sheriff, and we want your sheriff to become a oath-keeping, law-abiding, constitutional county sheriff. CSPOA.org to become a member. Please get involved today. We need your financial and otherwise support to help train sheriffs in de-escalation tactics, to train sheriffs in their oath, in the Constitution, in the proper role of limited government, in the incredible checks and balances that makes this country one of a kind, a light on a hill, a beacon to the world, if you will. We talked about the doctrine of interposition. What is interposition, you may ask? It means to protect someone from the attacks of others. Don't hurt me, don't take my stuff is the idea. Sheriffs get in the middle between the IRS or all other out-of-control agencies and or groups or individuals. And the sheriff says, look, not on my watch. I'm going to protect my citizens. That's what I've been elected to do. Yeah, and government bureaucrats are just as egregious in their violations of the checks and balances as anybody else. In fact, oftentimes more so. So the doctrine of interposition is vital. We also talked about the principle of nullification with Sheriff Richard Mack. That's a right to invalidate, to refuse, recognize, or obey unconstitutional, pretend legislation. That's right. The checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, both vertical and horizontal, are real. Okay? When governors make law, it's pretend legislation. They don't have any authority to make law. You got it? That's why it's pretend legislation. We also talked about Senator Rand Paul speaking out about Biden's gun control. Ground jewel is the United Nations Small Arms Treaty. They're launching an unconstitutional, all-out effort to ratify this in the United States Senate. We the people need to stop them. Can the county sheriff stop them? You bet he can. One county sheriff back in 1997. Well, 96, 7, right in there. Anyway. Literally 96, almost 97, or barely 97. I can't remember exactly the date. Anyway, right then and there, the good sheriff, Richard Mack, beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court and said, federal government, general government, you will not violate our state and county rights. You won't do it. Not on my watch. I'm the chief executive in my county, and you can't do it. And the judges agreed. The majority opinion written by Antonin Scalia saying there's dual sovereigns here. The federal government, the general government has no authority. Stop them in their tracks. Now, if you can stop the United States government, then you can certainly stop the international bureaucrats from their crown jewel, which is the International Small Arms Treaty. Shut it down. Don't let them pass it in the Senate. But if they do, the sheriff should be your interposition person, Johnny on the spot, if you will. We need to back our sheriffs. We also talked about interposition via nullification is the rightful remedy. When governments reach beyond their constitutional powers. That was hour one. Hour two. We had our guest on, Mr. Rodney Smith Jr. He's the founder of a group called Raising Men Lawn Care. Raising Men. Or WeRaisingMen.com, I guess is the website. WeRaisingMen.com. Putting the care back in lawn care. Incredible stuff. Donate today, ladies and gentlemen. They got the 50-yard challenge going on. Just go learn about it. WeRaisingMen.com. It was a great guest, by the way. Just good people doing good things. I'm telling you right now. We also talked about the UFO report from your federal government. Yeah. I guess they released it from the Pentagon. U.S. intelligence cannot explain more than 140 UFOs, and the report does not categorically exclude aliens. Yeah, they say they can't categorically rule out aliens. So you got a report, really, that admitted there are UFOs. But in addition to admitting there are UFOs, what else happened? Not a whole lot. The government just said, yeah, there's aliens. We don't know if there's aliens. I mean, yeah, there's UFOs. We told you there wasn't for literally decades. Well, it's a credibility crisis for the government. They made fun of us and mocked us when we said there might be unidentified flying objects, and they kind of went doo-doo-doo, and then they mocked, and now they admit, yeah, it's all true. We don't know. We don't have any answers, but it is true. What a shame on your government for lying to you once again. But you know what? Do you expect the government not to lie these days? Wow. We also talked about Nike is a brand that is of China and for China. Nike chief reassures China. What a shame cave to the communists. When I get that you want sales, CEO, but what a shame you are. What a disgrace. You know, what you should say is, look, you know what? We don't believe in communism. We will sell our shoes to the Chinese. We will work with them to make our shoes because we have to in this modern day of manipulated economies. But you know what? We don't agree with their communist tactics. We hope they come and see the light of free markets. So we'll play in their arena, but we want them to learn about free markets and hopefully embrace free markets. Can't you stand on something? What a disgrace. We also talked about Mike Pence got booed as traitor at a conference several weeks ago. And my response is shame on the crowd. Whether you like Mike Pence or not, whether you agree with him or not, you don't need to just stoop to that level and boo the guy and be all negative and everything else. You know what? Be polite. I don't agree with Mike Pence on everything, but I do believe he's a Christian. I do believe he's doing his best. Right? That's something to kind of really, really understand. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to try to get to our guest, Lowell Nelson. CampaignForLiberty.org is his website. RonPaulInstitute.com is his other site. And I don't know if I'm having trouble or not, but he's there and then he keeps disappearing. Are you there, Lowell? Uh-oh. All right, I'll have to try to get Lowell here. Let me try to get him on this other line, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on here. I'm running the board all by myself because Cameron and those guys aren't available. And as a result, it's kind of tough to do everything all by myself here. But let's see if we can get Lowell here. He probably was not able to hear.
Not able to hear.
Are you there, Lowell?
Are you there, Lowell?
I am now.
All right, I'll go ahead and try to get that fixed. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming in double.
All right, I'm going to have to work on that here.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Now let's see if it's double.
Oh,
is that better?
That's single now. That's better.
All right, you couldn't hear before at all. Is that the problem?
Right, not at all.
All right, anyway, I'll have to work on that. It's a long story. I'm running the board by myself. We had switched to a different studio, and then these guys went to a wedding, and I had to switch back to my studio, and I didn't have everything hooked up perfect. So
Okay, no
anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that. Thanks for being alongside. I just finished up my recap of a Saturday's show. Bottom line is we had on Richard Mack, and we talked about nullification using interposition, one of the great ways we can stop bureaucrats and professional do-gooders from destroying every single liberty we have left, huh, Lowell?
Absolutely right, Sam.
All right. In fact, there's a political leadership school coming up July 31st. If you register today, you get lunch free. It really will help people understand a lot of the principles we've been talking about forever on the radio, sir.
That's exactly right, Sam. We'll talk about basically how to hold politicians accountable, get them to do what they ought to be doing, you know, voting for liberty instead of going along with the establishment, along with the status quo, and actually being able to make a difference, a political difference, and primarily in the local races, where it is the most important to do, like in local school board races, and not just in elections, but actually during the term the politicians serve, whether you know, serve on the school board or the county commission, city council, you know, state legislature, whatever it is, whatever level it is, wherever you have your eyes on them, then they begin actually doing the things that they ought to be doing in the first place. When you're watching them, when you're talking to them and persuading them to do the right thing, they generally do. Politicians are what we call predictable animals. They actually do. They bend with the wind. So you create a wind strong enough, you and your fellow activists, patriots, then they will actually do what the wind blows them to do. And that's it's a good thing to be involved and help them make the predictable move. And so you get to learn all this. This class, the Sandy class, goes from 9 in the morning till 5 at night. And normally you'd pay hundreds of dollars for this kind of training, Sam. But at this class, which I'm hosting, it's basically at cost. Basically, it's just $40 right now, and that includes lunch. That's our early bird price, which is good through Independence Day celebration and maybe beyond, but at least that long. But don't wait. Sign up today. Secure your seat in this class, this political leadership school in Sandy, Utah. We'll be holding at the Salt Lake Community College there all day, 9 to 5. It's a great opportunity. We'll have an instructor from the Foundation for Conservative Leadership, Applied Conservative Leadership, which is FACL for FACL. Basically, a national organization. We get one of their top trainers all day Saturday, July 31. Sam?
Right. You got to love it, ladies and gentlemen. This is something when Lowell says it's at cost. When you talk about, you know, getting the location, getting the right people there for the training, the lunch that's available there, you know, you put it all together, that stuff's expensive. So it is literally at cost. I know it might not sound like, you know, wow, is that really at cost? You know, I believe it is. I've ran these kind of events before, and it's really, really expensive to put on these things. People don't realize how expensive it really is, Lowell.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sam. And if you're not near Sandy, Utah, and you want to go to a school like this, they are being held all over the country. And if they're not being held, and you think they ought to be in your town, then you can sign up to host this kind of a school. If you can get, you know, a dozen other like-minded, liberty-minded, liberty-loving people excited, interested to attend this school, you can host one in your own town. And you just sign up at their site, the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, and you can make it happen for yourself and your friends right in your own community. So there you go, Sam.
It's very important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when people put these kind of seminars on, it's really important to attend them. Because you know what? If they don't get enough people over time, they won't have conferences like this. And I believe it serves the people incredibly well when we have these kind of conferences. People just need this kind of training because a lot of people really are kind of like, man, what do I do? The answer is you put the time in to learn how you can make a difference. Okay, when we talk about this leadership school, I want to really be clear. What you're talking about is learning how the process of government works at the localist of levels. See, most people believe it starts when you know, go to the ballot box and vote. And my response is, no. It starts way before that. In fact, by the time it's the ballot box and who you decide to vote for. The media has already manipulated your views to a great degree. They've ignored certain people they don't even want to talk about. They've highlighted people that they want to promote. The decisions have already been made on who's going to be on the ballot for even a primary election at that point. All these decisions have already been made, and now you've kind of got, well, a very slim chance to even elect the person you want to, because all the real core decisions have already been made. Okay, all the vetting that takes place, all the understanding, all the people that are on different delegations and things like this that really help kind of vet and understand and channel these things before you see it at the ballot box, that's all been done. And I'm telling you, that's where the rubber meets the road, Lowell. And that's where people need to learn.
You are absolutely right, Sam. You know, politicians, they don't like to be accountable. But one of the secrets you'll learn in this class is to connect what we call the legislative season, which is when they're making their decisions, casting their votes, with the election season, which is when you go to the ballot box and either vote to re-elect them or to elect them or to vote the bums out, so to speak. So making that connection between the legislative season and the election season is just one of the many secrets that you'll learn in this school. So, like I say, it's well worth the $40 that it's going to cost for you to attend this class. Basically, you're setting aside that day, and you're saying to yourself, on this day, I am going to learn all I can about how to make a political difference in my community, in my school board, or in my county, and it's well worth the time, because you're going to learn what to do the things that make the most difference. You're not going to be spinning your wheels doing things which don't affect politicians. You'll actually learn how to push them to do what they ought to be doing. So thank you, Sam, for helping to promote this marvelous school. It's absolutely worth the day that you'll spend learning about these things, Sam.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to highlight a little bit more on this so people understand. You know, most folks don't even know who their local representatives are. Let's just talk on the local state level for a second, Lowell. Most people don't even know who their local representatives are. And the reason they don't is because they change every 2 years oftentimes. That's part of the reason. So it's, you know, relatively often that it changes. And, you know, you don't really get to talk to them unless you make a Herculean effort. And so it's very hard for folks to want to know their representatives. How's the best place for you to know your representative? How do I know my rep and get a hold of him and all that?
Well, here in Utah, le.utah.gov. It's a website, fantastic website.
le.utah.gov.
Mm-hmm. Yep. With all 104 representatives, we have 29 state senators, we have 75 House representatives, state representatives, and every
now, 29,
single one of them,
29 because there's 29 counties, right?
That's right. One senator per county.
Got it.
And then there are 75 House districts, roughly three times as many as senators, and so there's one House district per representative. And if you live in Utah, you live in a Senate district and in a House district. So you have two legislators who ought to know your name. If you're a liberty fighter, they need to know your name. They need to recognize you, and you need to share your opinions with them so that they will vote the right way. You know, if they get emails or texts or contact from citizens, their constituents, with over about a dozen constituents, they consider that like overwhelming. That's almost unheard of. People, legislators don't get that kind of contact, you know, from their own constituents. It's very rare, except on most popular issues like a tax increase or a tax decrease or something. But let me, you know, just one issue, like the issue about biological males participating in female sports. That bill did not get support in the Utah legislature this year in the 2021 session. And why not? Because they didn't hear enough from you, the population, the citizens of Utah. How about the bill that would have outlawed gender change therapy? Growth hormones administered to adolescents, teenagers. That bill didn't come up. Why not? Because your legislators didn't have the political courage to vote for that bill, right? Why didn't they have the courage? Because they didn't hear from us. Citizen voices translate to courage in our legislature.
And we need to be very polite, but we need to tie it to the next election cycle, too. You don't need to be rude or threatening, but you need to simply say, listen, we expect you to behave in certain ways as our elected official. You represent us. And if you don't, we will do our very best to find somebody who will. And it's not a threat. It's just a reality of when you work for me, then I expect you to do what I'm, thinking is best. That's why I choose you. That's why you're there. Now, in Utah, there's probably, 2 million voters, maybe?
Yeah, fewer than that. It's more, there's 3 million people, and so it's roughly 600,000 or 700,000 voters is all.
Only 25% of the whole state.
Well, when you count the women and children and, So, yeah, we're talking.
Yeah, but women are supposed to vote, right?
Yeah.
I'm joking. Let's just say there's 1 million voters, okay?
Okay, 1 million voters, yep.
All right. 1 million voters divided by 75 legislators, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about 13,000 people per legislator. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a small enough number when most people aren't even engaged for you to really have an impact. Now, I know this is just the state of Utah example, but it's really similar in your state, because they have more state senators. I'm sorry, they have more state representatives in your state if your state's bigger, for example, as well. So I bring this all up because these are the kind of details that you learn. How do you develop a relationship with them? How do you let them know your will in a forceful way? In other words, be very open and clear, not brutal, but you know what? I want to be assertive. You work for me. I'm the boss, right? But at the same time, not be over the top, offensive, cause trouble, create angst and that kind of stuff. There's a balance there. This training helps you understand that balance, helps you learn how to win friends and influence people in a way, though, that can suggest you're the boss. We the people are the boss. And there's tactics and ways to go about that that's non-offensive. They might not like it. They might feel pressure, but they'll have respect if you're polite, insistent, educated, humble but determined. I mean, there's a balance there, right, Lowell?
Yeah, absolutely right, Sam. You put it so very well. Politics is the adjudication of power. That's the definition of politics. And when you think about the way in which other countries determine who's going to reign, who's going to rule over whom, it's usually done with a gun or a sword or a club, in most other countries of the
world. Yeah, I'm kind of off that plan personally.
Yeah, it's not an easy plan, not an easy way to adjudicate power. It's a brutal way to adjudicate power. And so I tend to lose patience with people who, get upset at a political discussion where people start arguing or it gets heated. People are impassioned about certain issues. Well, thank goodness we have that opportunity here in this country, because, in other countries, we might not even have that kind of an opportunity. So, yeah, let's get engaged. Let's be active. Let's learn how, politics works in your state, particularly here in the state of Utah, and, attend this training and really make a political difference for the cause of liberty. And it's going to benefit them, not only, the citizen in Utah, but it will benefit groups such as the CSPOA, the Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Association, gun owners. It'll benefit all of the good, righteous causes, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was such an important topic that I blew off the last break for it. Pay attention. Leadership School, end of July. Be there. Lowell Nelson in seconds with more incredible topics on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United States on Sunday night carried out another round of air attacks against Iran-backed armed groups in Iraq and Syria in response to drone attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. A U.S. defense official with knowledge of the airstrike says the Air Force F-15s and F-16s were used in the operation. The strikes took place at approximately 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The militias are threatening to retaliate. An outbreak in Sydney, Australia, linked to the highly contagious Delta variant of the COVID-19, has grown to 128 cases. Cases have also been recorded in Northern Territory, Queensland, and Western Australia. Officials say it's a crucial time for the country, which has kept the case numbers low with border closures and lockdowns. As search and rescue efforts continue at the Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida after the collapse last week, Orlando Bravo, a Puerto Rican billionaire, has donated $250,000 for the relief fund. USA Radio News.
If you're tired of the old cable news, you now have a choice. It's Newsmax TV. More than 40 million Americans are tuning in, making Newsmax the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Every minute, every day, Newsmax gives you the real news you can trust. With top analysts, hosts, and guests like Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Dick Morris, Nancy Brinker, Mike Reagan, Rudy Giuliani, and so many more. It's easy to watch. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems, or get Newsmax free on streaming platforms like Roku, Zumo, Pluto, YouTube, and most smart TVs like Samsung Plus and LG. Remember, Newsmax is different than most cable news networks. You can get it for free on your smartphone, so download the Newsmax app and start watching right now. Join the Newsmax revolution and get us everywhere. Online at Newsmax.com, on your cable channel, your smart TV, and your smartphone. Because when news breaks, you need a trusted source. It's Newsmax.
Let's get an infrastructure bill update with Brad Bernards from the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso argued during an exclusive interview on Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures that there's no way Republicans are going to support the nearly $1 trillion infrastructure package if it is any way linked and connected to the broader Democratic spending package, which the Wyoming senator called a freight train heading towards socialism.
The White House staff and Schumer and Pelosi, who are beholden to the far left wing of the Democrat Party, said, we're not going to go for this bipartisan bill. And look, this bipartisan bill itself is not yet completely settled. There are a number of Republicans, and I'm one of them, who's not completely sold on it.
Barrasso, a Republican, made the comment one day after President Biden backtracked on previous remarks he made on his intent to sign the bipartisan infrastructure package and confirmed he will fully stand behind it.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with me. CampaignForLiberty.org. Always doing a phenomenal job on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell and crew really making a difference in the Republic. Their leadership school, incredible. End of July, July 31st. Sign up today. Become informed and involved, to say the least. All right, what is behind General Mark Milley's Righteous Race sermon? This is a big one. You might not know who this guy is. Glenn Greenwald with the article. Lowell will catch you up on who this guy is and why it's relevant to you. Lowell?
Last Wednesday, this general, he is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff here in the U.S. regime, General Mark Milley, highest-ranking military officer in the United States, basically. He testified at a House hearing last Wednesday, vehemently defended the teaching of critical race theory at West Point, and referencing the January 6th Capitol riot, saying, it is important that we train and we understand. He says, I want to understand white rage, and I am white. So basically, he's buying into this notion of critical race theory. He's buying into the 1619 Project. He's the highest-ranking military officer. He's implying that these kinds of things should be taught at West Point and all military schools. If you're white, then you are systemically flawed and you're racist, basically, right? And so overnight, this General Milley now has become a new hero for liberalism here in this country. But is there more to this, you might call it a military salute to the notion that whites are systemically racist, right? Is there an explanation? And so Glenn Greenwald believes there is. He says, given that all U.S. wars in the post-World War II era have been directed at predominantly non-white countries, which, like all wars, required a sustained demonization campaign of those enemy populations, having top Pentagon officials become leading anti-racism warriors would be quite a remarkable transformation indeed. End of quote. So notice that, I mean, his Greenwald statement here is packed with information. Number one, U.S. wars following World War II have been directed where? At predominantly non-white countries. You think about that, you know, Korean War. Think about the Vietnamese War. You think about the wars fought in the Middle East. Predominantly non-white countries. Well, then why all of a sudden would it make sense for the Joint Chiefs of Staff to begin, you know, crowing about critical race theory, you know, and taking down the whites as systemically racist? I mean, that I don't know that those two compute. And then the second thing in his statement, which is very curious indeed, is this. He says, he admits that each of these wars included a sustained demonization campaign of the enemy population. Wow. So now think again. Think back to what he said. He referred to the January 6th riot at the Capitol, which, you know, the lamestream media calls an insurrection. He refers to that, and then he said, well, we need to understand white rage. So what's he doing there? I mean, that is, it doesn't follow to a logician. But what he said is this. He said, quote, what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and to try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? End of quote. That was his question. Well, that's not even factually
correct. Now, I find
correct.
This interesting, though, this white rage idea. I don't know that the individuals in America have white rage, with rare exception. I think governments and bankers seem to have white rage, though. They're the ones that have cranked up the military-industrial complex. They're the ones that are funding globally both sides of wars. They're probably not really into white rage as much as they are wanting to create a global tyranny. And white rage is the way to divide and hate, as well as, you know, use the race war to divide and conquer the peoples of the world and subject them to their tyranny. So anyway, it's kind of interesting, but I agree that the warmongers in America seem to have white rage against us. We the people. Well,
exactly. I think that's Greenwald's point. As we continue down the article, he says that, you know, the post-World War II military posture of the U.S. has been endless war, and that's true. To enable that, he says, there must always be an existential threat, a new and fresh enemy that can scare a large enough portion of the population with sufficient intensity to make them accept, even plead for, greater military spending, surveillance powers, and continuation of permanent war footing. Starring in that war-justifying role of villain have been, and then he lists these, like the communists in the 1960s, Al-Qaeda, in the 1970s, it was the terrorism, right? ISIS in the 90s, Russia in the last couple of decades, and an assortment of other fleeting foreign threats. Now, if you look at that progression, Sam, you the communists, you know, the Red Scare of the 1950s and 60s, and then Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and then terrorism became the global threat, right? We commenced this war on terror. And then, of course, we have the Middle Eastern conflicts, ISIS and so forth are coming to get us, the boogeyman. And so you see the boogeyman change from decade to decade, and now we see this demonization of white rage, the demonization of white, right, in our own country. It's like they're turning the barrel of their demonization program on us. Right here in the state. That's what it seems like, and I think that's Greenwald's point. When he talks about the lamestream media, he quotes here as saying that Joe Biden and the whole intelligence community said there's no greater national security threat to the United States than the menace to American national security. It's domestic. That's where the threat is now. We have a domestic threat against the United States. Domestic extremists, basically, far right, white supremacist groups in particular, that now pose the greatest threat to the safety of the homeland and to the people who reside in it. In other words, to justify the current domestic war on terror that has already provoked billions in more military spending and intensified domestic surveillance, the Pentagon must ratify the narrative that those they are fighting in order to defend the homeland are, you guessed it, white supremacist domestic terrorists. Now, Sam, you know the list of people who, you know the kinds of people that get on that list of domestic terrorists, right? I mean, it happened in the last decade when Ron Paul's organization and other people got on this list of domestic terrorists. Well, who is it? It's the Bible-believing, Constitution-supporting, John Birch Society members, Constitution-upholding citizens. Those are the new domestic terroristic threat to, democracy or whatever they want. It's a threat to democracy. Well, it's going to serve the war machine's agenda if they can persuade this country to believe that that white domestic extremist supremacist is the most grave and pervasive systemic threat to our country. So, viewed through that lens, Greenwald concludes, it makes perfect sense that General Milley is spouting the theories and viewpoints that underlie this war framework in which depicts white supremacy and white rage as a foundational threat to the American homeland. It's a new domestic war on terror, he writes, against white supremacists and right-wing extremists, and it's far more justifiable if, as General Milley strongly suggests, that it was white rage that fueled this insurrection on January 6th, which, in the words of President Biden, is the greatest assault on American democracy since the Civil War. End of quote. Can you believe that?
Yeah, the problem is I don't like that democracy word. Other than that, I agree.
Well, you exactly got that right, because we have a republic here and not a democracy. And we didn't even have a civil war here. We had some states that withdrew from the Union, and then the War of Northern Aggression, the War for Southern Independence. But what he's saying is that all that aside, is that these people that entered the Capitol building on January 6th, they represent the greatest assault on American democracy since the Civil War.
And the greatest threat is being branched out to not only those who were there, which is wrong because the majority were peaceful, kind. The majority never even went into the Capitol building. But even the majority of those who did go into the Capitol building might have should have not gone in there. But they didn't commit any criminal activity. There was a very few provocateurs that did that. The rest didn't do anything. But now they're not only broadening it from those who went to the Capitol, wrongly attacking them as some kind of a threat. Now they're literally saying anybody who agrees with any conservative principles is a domestic threat, bordering on racist and terrorist, and the list goes on and on. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson with me, campaignforliberty.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
I As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, with me riding shotgun today. Biden undermines insurrection narrative and gun control push. We come back to the Capitol riots, they claim. Really, provocateurs caused it all. Nobody's digging into the details, but we are. Could Biden gun control cross the American Rubicon? Eric Reike with the article on this. Eric is an incredible guy. He's been with Young Americans for Liberty, which is really a division kind of Campaign for Liberty, right, Lowell?
Yeah, it's the younger version of Campaign for Liberty, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a senior spokesman for Young Americans for Liberty. He's a retired two-term Maine senator, and he's been working on the constitutional carry law and everything else. I mean, the guy's a hero in America, but he really highlights this in a big way, Lowell.
He does, Sam. He reminds us of the tensions that grew between King George and the colonists over the years, and they were running high for a variety of reasons, but the colonists resisted peacefully for quite a number of years. But then what happened? Well, the year turned to 1775, and when the Crown's army arrived to confiscate the people's firearms in Concord, that's when the first shots were fired in the war for American independence. So Eric Brakey,
now, let me stop there and say this, ladies and gentlemen. The government's going to take that as a terrorist threat on this radio program because that's how they lie and play games. And I'm going to call them out right now. Don't lie. Okay, don't play games. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, they will have started it because the Second Amendment is the inalienable, God-given right of self-defense. And if the government crosses that line, they are the aggressor. We are in defense mode to protect our wives, our children, our families, and our sacred honor. Understand who the aggressor is. Don't let them lie to you and make you believe we're calling for this. We're just telling you what happened back in the revolutionary days, and we're telling you that we pray that it doesn't happen again. We will do all we can to prevent it from happening again. So don't let them lie to you and paint us as the aggressors. It will not fly. However, we will defend ourselves, though, because God says it's our duty. Let's be very clear, Lowell.
Well put, Sam. As Tom, and you'd be speaking right along with Thomas Jefferson, who, in the Declaration of Independence, noted that we are, quote, disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, end quote. But, and Eric Brakey points out here, Americans have never suffered any attempt to disarm the public. In the same manner that Romans feared a military general crossing the Rubicon with his army, Americans widely fear gun confiscation as a point of no return down our own road to serfdom. So, turns out, Sam, we got constitutional carry in 20 states, and roughly a quarter of the American people live in a constitutional carry state. This is really mushroomed. It's grown. This movement has grown significantly in the last couple of decades. Well, so Biden is proposing some of the most radical anti-gun agenda of any American president ever. He wants to confiscate commonly owned rifles, you know, such as the AR-15. His Department of Justice released model legislation recently for a super red flag bill that would allow anybody to report on their fellow citizens for so-called dangerous behavior, resulting in the confiscation of their weapons without notice, without due process. Total violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. Biden will likely attempt to ransom federal taxpayer dollars to strong-arm the state. states into passage of this legislation, right? So basically they're going to say that if you don't pass this legislation, you ain't going to get this money. He's even nominated David Chipman to lead the ATF. Chipman, as you many of you know, is a prominent gun control activist and apologist for the carnage at Waco. Turns out that the Senate Judiciary Committee voted 11-11 on his nomination last week. But that, normally that would end everything right there, but for some reason it's coming to the floor of the Senate for a vote. But the very fact that the Senate has not yet voted on Chipman indicates that they don't have the votes yet to confirm his nomination. So that means, that tells me, Sam, we got a lot of people calling the U.S. Senate and insisting that they not support the nomination.
And you, my fellow Americans, ought to be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so Brakey basically ends his column saying Joe Biden should learn from the example of King George that gun confiscation is the one tyranny Americans will never stand for. Americans are winning back their right to keep and bear arms with constitutional carry state by state. We're not about to let Washington, D.C. disarm us. So, he needs to learn from history.
Amen. Yep, and again, they're the ones that will be forcing the narrative, because right now we're all peaceful and fine. Don't cross that line, I'm telling you right now. Not that I want any violence. I'm just saying that is something that is not acceptable in America. We have the rule of law for a reason, and the rule of law now says, hey, government has no authority to take our weapons and or interfere with our right to keep and bear arms. It shall not be infringed. And all the encroachments that we have to date are the abuses Thomas Jefferson spoke about. I don't like them, but we'll be patient about that. We need to overturn them. We need to work within the system to resolve them. I get it. But don't cross that line, or else, you know what? You force us to take off the gloves in self-defense. Got it? Good. Thank you very much. Now, there's one other tidbit. I don't want to miss this headline. I want to get to it, Lowell, then the final article for the hour. Biden undermines insurrection narrative with gun control push. This is something that we don't want to overlook, because I think this is critical to understand as well. Explain that one.
Yeah, he said something recently that undermines this notion that the January 6th attack on the Capitol was the greatest assault on the American democracy since the Civil War. Just now listen to what he said. He has introduced the gun control push. He said that, patriots, he called them. I'm not sure what he called them. I can't remember. But he said, you know, the patriot types who would seek to overthrow the U.S. would need fighter jets and maybe nuclear weapons. His bizarre claim that U.S. military could only be countered by fighter jets and maybe nuclear weapons was quickly challenged online by people pointing out that the Afghans and the Vietnamese seem to have managed just fine without those weapons. And then others said that the assault on the Capitol was a few dozen unarmed men beating on some windows and walking into the Capitol building, and that, I kid you not, was the greatest assault on democracy since the Civil War? That is unbelievable, right? He says patriots are going to need F-15s and some nuclear weapons to move against their government. Well, and so someone tweeted, pick a narrative, right? I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't call the January 6th a riot in Washington, D.C., that's a so-called assault on U.S. Capitol, to be the greatest assault on American democracy since the Civil War, and then also say that in order to move against this government, you're going to need some F-16s and some nuclear bombs. You can't have it both ways. So someone said, pick a narrative. I mean, it's just hilarious, Sam. But anyway, that's the hypocrisy of this, of what Joe Biden says. I mean, anytime you listen to him, it's kind of like very entertaining, because he just puts his foot in his mouth every time he speaks. And this is just one of those cases where he doesn't know what he's talking about, and just totally undermines the original narrative that the January 6th thing was the greatest assault on American democracy. Sam?
And we understand we don't have a democracy. We're using that word because that's the word that they are using, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be clear. We know we have a constitutional republic You can even say it's a constitutional democratic republic if you want to be, you know, but fine. We don't have a democracy, though. And the fact that he even articulates, you know, that it's threatening our democracy proves that he shouldn't even be president of the United States. Any president who suggests we have a democracy, in my opinion, should be absolutely kicked out on his ear. Because you know what? You can't run around and pretend we have a democracy, or you don't understand the moral component of our nation. You don't understand the checks and balances of our nation. And therefore, you shouldn't be the commander in chief of such a country that you don't understand. How can you keep a republic if you think we have a democracy? Okay, it's just crazy town. But I digress. There you have it. All right, final story of the hour talks about spike proteins, ladies and gentlemen. The spike protein is the killer. Beware of mRNA vaccines. Peter Koenig with the article. Well,
awesome article found at lourockwell.com. He quotes Josh Middledorf to describe spike proteins. I thought this was very interesting. The spike protein is the part of the virus structure that interfaces with host cells. SARS-1 and SARS-2 viruses both have spike proteins that bind to a human cell receptor called ACE2. That's ACE, or Alpha Charlie Edward, or Alpha Charlie Echo, -2, ACE2 receptors, right? They bind to the ACE2 receptors, which is common. These ACE2 receptors are common in lung cells, which explains why so many of the coronavirus patients, you know, had respiratory problems. So these are common in lung cells, but also present in other parts of the body. So binding to the cell's ACE2 receptor is like the wolf knocking on the door of Little Red Riding Hood's grandmother saying, "Hello, Grandmama, I'm your granddaughter, please let me in." And the virus is a wolf wearing a red cape and hood, pretends to be an ACE2 enzyme molecule seeking entrance to the cell, right? So the inventor of, you know, so that's the definition or the description of a spike protein. That's what's being injected when you get this emergency authorization use injection. You're getting a gel of this stuff, the spike protein, and they're binding to the ACE2 receptor cells in your body, which are found a lot of them in the ovaries and in the spermatozoa, which is affecting our fertility rate in this country, and it's resulting in miscarriages in pregnant women. There's a lot of ACE2 receptor cells in the umbilical cord, between mothers and children. And so what makes the messenger RNA non-vaccine so dangerous is that it produces spike proteins throughout every cell in the human body. You know, it results in medical blood clotting disorders. It results in infertility. Anyway, this article goes into something new, which first time I've read this word, called magnetofection or magnetofection,
I think is how you say it.
Okay, magnetofection.
Yep.
It's an aggressive magnetic gel delivery system, which is in these vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, right? Included in the injection to transport the spike protein in warp speed into every cell of the human body. The German manufacturer, Chemicell GmbH in Berlin, they claim this magnetic gel is not for use in humans, and yet Moderna and Pfizer are using it in their messenger RNA experimental gene therapy injections, which they falsely call a vaccine. Bottom line, Sam, do not take the jab. Not only are numerous thousands of people dying now after they take the jab, but there will be many, many more in the future who die from so-called unknown causes because they took the jab now, setting them up for destruction and death later. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. You can say we're up in the night. You can say we're crazy, but it's kind of like UFOs. I don't know what the unidentified flying objects are, but we told you they existed. Government told you they didn't. Now they admit they lied and we're right all along, just like they've done with almost every single topic we talk about. You know, I say almost because the other ones they haven't admitted to yet, but they're coming around. The truth shall set us free. Lowell Nelson, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
CampaignForLiberty.org. Great job, Lowell. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.